pray with me. Father, I thank you that you desire relationship with us, and you have a mission for us. Father, as we study your word, open our eyes and our hearts. Let the words that are spoken be yours. Give us ears to hear and hearts that seek you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I have a quiz for you this morning. I hope you're prepared. I'm going to give you a famous quote from either a movie or a TV show, and you tell me which one it is. Just shout it out. See how well you do on this quiz. The first one, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Snow White. I don't think we're in Kansas anymore, Toto. Wizard of Oz. Luke, I am your father. Star Wars. Life is like a box of chocolates. Anybody failing this quiz so far? Everybody okay? Just the facts, ma'am. Dragnet. What would you say? That was hard for some of y'all. You ain't old enough. What would you say if I told you those quotes that I just read you are in none of the movies that you think they are? They're all complete misquotes from the actual line that's in the movie. Now, I'm going to give you the actual line because some of y'all would sit here the rest of the time going, he's wrong. What is actually said in Snow White is, magic mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? What Dorothy actually says is, Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. What Darth Vader actually says is, no, I am your father. What Forrest Gump says is, life was like a box of chocolates. And what Jack Webb says in Dragnet on almost every show is not just the facts, ma'am. He never said that once. He says, all we want is the facts, ma'am. Now, isn't it funny how in the course of our mind, things get turned just ever so slightly from what we believe or thought we heard? Those quotes, almost everybody in the room knew them, and they were never said. This morning, as we dive into this series about being a disciple and making them, we might need to redefine what it is to be a disciple and what it is to be a church, because we can get these things slightly askew as we believe they're exactly what we heard, and it may not be the case. I want to start with what I believe is one of the most misunderstood directives from Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14, verse 27. Luke chapter 14, verse 27. If you have been in church or been a Christian very long, I bet you know this verse, and I bet you have quoted it. Luke 14, verse 27. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. I want to read that again because I want this to set in on us of the importance of this. Because Jesus is very specific. When I want to know something and understand something, the best place to go is to the source, right? And if we're going to be Jesus' disciples, then we need to understand what Jesus wants. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. We have, for the most part, brought this to mean that we have to carry some sort of burden to be a disciple. We probably even said jokingly, I'm carrying my cross. And that cross is either, in our minds, some sort of burden in terms of physical illness or relationship or a job that is hard to deal with or church members that are crazy. Some sort of burden that we have to carry to follow Jesus. Understand that is nowhere close to what Jesus is saying here. It's not even in the realm of what he's trying to identify. I want to show you what he means. Go with me over to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Verse 36, we're going to look at what he's trying to tell us and what it is to be a disciple. Because he said, if you don't pick up your cross and follow me, you can't be a disciple, period. There is no leeway, none. If you don't pick it up and follow me, you can't be one. Matthew 22, verse 36, I'm going to read down through verse 40. This is Jesus' disciples, the original 12. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second, and is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. The entirety of the law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Jesus says, the most important thing is love God and love people. How this ties to his statement that if you want to be my disciple, you have to pick up your cross and follow me. He's using an illustration that his society would have known very well and would later become his fate. If you were convicted of a crime and going to be put to death, you were required, depending upon the crime, if it was severe enough, to be crucified. And part of the punishment was that you had to pick up your cross and carry it to the place where you were going to be put to death. How that relates to you and I, and him saying, if you are going to be my disciple, you have to do this. You and I have to die to ourselves. Period. If you live one moment focused on yourself, then you're missing the point of what Jesus wants. Because what Jesus is saying is the two most important things for us to do is love God and love each other. Never once does he say you should focus on what you want. Do what you want. We live in a society, especially today, that is focused on self. I got to be happy. I got to be fulfilled. I got to do what makes me happy. Never once does that play into what Jesus wants for you and I. And if you're going to be a disciple, and he makes no bones about it, there's no way around it, you have to die to yourself. If you've been at this very long, you know that's a minute-by-minute demand. But our focus has to be on loving God and loving other people. The loving other people is the hardest thing for us. In terms of this, I got some data I want to share with you. It was done by Christianity Today a couple years ago. And listen at this. Every year, 17 million people die and go to hell. 17 million. They base this on people who absolutely made no sort of profession. But it's estimated 17 million people die and go to hell every year. That's a hard number to wrap your head around. That breaks down to 46,575 people a day. 1,940 people an hour. 32 people a minute. 32 people a minute. There's somewhere close to that number in this room right now, maybe a little more. Every minute, this entire room dies and goes to hell. That breaks down to one person every 2 seconds. One person every 2 seconds. Somebody's going to hell. Now, I have a question for you, and it's a harsh one. Do you care? Do you care that one person every 2 seconds dies and goes to hell? I'm going to tell you something. I bet it doesn't bother you or me as much as it should. Because the only reason we are on this earth breathing right now is to prevent as many of that as we possibly can. And there are people that cross our paths every day, and we give no mind or thought to the fact that they may be one of those 17 million people. Which brings me to this thought, because it's another thing that we need to, I think our thinking is a little bit askew. It's close, but it's a little bit askew. And that is, what is a church? Because we're supposed to be a group of disciples, right? And what's our mission? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Oh, sorry. Matthew 28. I'm a little ahead of myself. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, and 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commandments I have given you, and be sure of this, I am always with you, even to the edge of the earth. There's one word in that directive that we get a little bit askew. Got any idea what it is? Go. go. We get this mind that I'm supposed to invite people to church so they can come become disciples. Church is for disciples to be equipped and go. I got a little illustration for you. Watch this. Listen to Matthew 9:35-38. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of the area, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news of the kingdom, and healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the field." The harvest is great. And around you every day are people who are helpless and hopeless. And we have to care more. I want to close with an analogy, a thought. I want to take you in your mind. Imagine, if you will, if in a few minutes you walked out those doors and standing in the parking lot was a toddler. Alone, scared and crying. And it was obvious that it was alone. And then you saw that toddler start running toward the street. You would chase after it without even thinking. Not asking any questions, not giving any judgment, not thinking that that toddler must have done something wrong to end up here alone. Your compassion would lead you to chase it because you knew certain danger was ahead. every day in your path are toddlers running towards certain danger and death every 2 seconds. Somebody dies and goes to hell. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at how do we effectively be the disciples that Jesus wants us to be so that we can go out that door and make an impact. Because that's the only reason we come in these doors. Jesus is more concerned about what happens out there than he is what happens in here. Jesus went from town to town having compassion on knowing that people were headed towards certain death, and he didn't want them to because he loved them. And our commandment is to love God and love people. And our commission is to go. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for loving us enough to die for us and to die for everybody breathing on this planet. And your desire is that none should perish. Father, equip us and make us effective disciples for you, so that we can go out these doors with confidence and be the disciples that you want us to be. We want to know what that looks like. We want to be effective and compassionate. We want to love you and love our neighbors. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you don't know him, I invite you to do that. If there's things you want to leave on this altar, do it. Let's sing. Pray that we be soft putty in a master's hand. And I pray that if we go out those doors, we be disciples. And I hope you come back next week as we begin to unpack how do we do that effectively so we can impact people's lives. Because I'll tell you, it is not taking your Bible out there and telling them what they did wrong and beating them over the head with your Bible. It's not. But we will find out what it looks like. We have a short business meeting. If you're visiting, we're going to pause and let you leave. And we'll start a business meeting in just a few minutes. But let's pray. Father, I thank you that you desire us to be active with you. Help us to be willing disciples, eager to fulfill your commission, and give us hearts to love you and love the people that cross our paths that we don't even know. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.